Would you turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to begin with verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 6, if you get that on your device, on your Bible, would you please stand for the reading of God's word, if you're able to stand for the reading of the word? Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, from the New King James Version, where these words are recorded. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 wings he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to the other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Amen. This is the word of God. Amen. This morning, I want to take a few minutes to talk about Isaiah's vision of God. Isaiah's vision of God. Chapter 1, a single verse this morning, claims our attention for this worship experience. In chapter 6, Isaiah the prophet is here giving his testimony about his call and commission to proclaim the word of God. He was in the temple when God gave him a vision. Through that vision, Isaiah saw what he needed to see and heard what he needed to hear from God. It was a message from God designed to reach his heart, reinforce his faith, give redirection to his life, and reclaim his trust. And that's what God wants to do for all of us through his word. He wants to reach our hearts, reinforce our faith, redirect our life. And if you have moved away from God, if you have been discouraged or disappointed or damaged in any way, God wants to reclaim your trust in him. Isaiah said he received this vision of the Lord in the year that King Uzziah died. You have to understand the magnitude of King Uzziah's death, because his death was a significant emotional event for Isaiah and for the entire nation of Judah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he came to the throne, and he reigned as the monarch of Judah for 52 years. He was highly influenced by the prophet Zechariah to walk in the ways of the Lord. He was a man of faith and commitment to justice and equity for all of the people of Judah. You can read about his reign in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. God blessed Uzziah with wisdom and intelligence and fortitude. He was a military strategist who defeated Judah's enemy so that they could live in peace. As an innovator, Uzziah designed and supervised the building of fortified towers around the perimeter of the kingdom and secured the city of Jerusalem. Being a warrior king, Uzziah trained and strengthened the armies by commissioning skilled men to modernize and upgrade Judah's military arsenal. Not only that, he was an agriculturalist. He made sure that the land was cultivated, which resulted in economic prosperity. Under King Uzziah's influence, the southern kingdom attained power and wealth and success unlike any other that had enjoyed it since the days of Solomon the king. For two generations, the people of Judah, including Isaiah the prophet, had to look to their king Uzziah to meet their needs and to find solutions for their problems. They relied totally on the policies and programs proposed and implemented by King Uzziah. The king had cultivated the climate of respectable social interaction. The economy was solid and the people prospered. The nation was secure and stable and at peace. But the citizens of Judah, the people of God, had lost sight of the fact that as great and as prosperous and productive as King Uzziah was, he was also a human being. And any time any of us put all our trust in a human being, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. Psalms 118 verse 8 says, "It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people." King Uzziah was a good man. He was a godly man. And he was a great king, but he was also human. There are times when God blesses so seamlessly and generously that it's possible for people of God to begin to trust in their blessings more than they trust the blessor. So you and I have to be careful that we don't put more trust on things and on people than we do in God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Did y'all hear that? That's how we are to trust the Lord with all of our heart. That's complete trust in him. I believe people, but I trust in God. I manage my possessions and I take responsibility for my position, but I always acknowledge that if it had not been for God, I would not have anything or be anybody. Trust in God and God alone. I love my family and my friends, and I can celebrate the success of other people. But ultimately, my trust is in God alone because I know from experience that God will never disappoint. Have I got any witness in here? God will never let you down. Whenever you need him, he'll be right there. Amen. King Uzziah started off well. He was a blessing to the people. He served honorably for many years. But success inflated his ego. He forgot that it was the grace and goodness of God that blessed his reign as monarch. The Bible says that only those who had been chosen and sanctified by God for the work of the priesthood were allowed to offer sacrifice on the altar in the temple. Only the priests. This is God's command. This is God's design. God chooses the priests and he anoints them and he commissions them, and they are the only ones who are allowed by God to enter into the temple and offer a sacrifice to him that will be acceptable. But you know, sometimes when people do a few things well, when people get rich off of one thing, for some reason they think they know everything. Arrogance, ego. The rule was that only the priests can sacrifice to God. King Uzziah, in his arrogance, forced his way past the priest into the temple, and in all his majesty presented a sacrifice on the altar. And he was stricken with leprosy by the Lord for his disobedience, and he died in that leprous condition. We got to be careful about being disobedient to God. For the nation of Judah, Uzziah's death ushered in a time of uncertainty, change, doubt. A grief-stricken nation mourned as those who have no hope. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 marks a turn from the golden era to a period of uncertainty. The question was, who would take King Uzziah's place? What would happen to the nation now that he's gone? Is there any hope for the future now that Judah's throne is empty? These are questions of personal and national survival. And many of us, my brothers and sisters who are here today and under the sound of my voice, can understand those feelings. We understand the feelings that come with political uncertainty, of economic insecurity, of social tension, and the threat of foreign aggression. We are confronted every day with all manner of vicissitudes. There are troubles in the world, challenges in our lives, trials and tests of various kinds. There are disappointment and deficiencies and injustice and inflation and unrelenting oppression, earthquakes and natural disasters, rumors of wars and wars, wickedness in high places. But we are reminded this morning, through the vision of Isaiah, we are reminded on this Lord's Day that in spite of all that's wrong in the world, regardless of how volatile the times are or whatever personal pressures you and I are facing in our lives, regardless of who sits in the seats of political power, whether it's Democrats or Republicans or independents or any combination thereof, that God is still in charge. My brothers and sisters, there is a God who rules above with hand of power and heart of love. It was in the year that King Uzziah died, that he was in the right place at the right time to hear what he needed to hear from the Lord. And we want to see and to see what he needed to see. He was in the right place. He was in the presence of God. He was in the temple. And he heard the right thing, the word of God, to reach his heart, to reinforce his faith, to redirect his life, and to reclaim his trust in God. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I want you to take a few minutes and come with me, if you will, to see through the eyes of faith the reality of your invisible God. Notice, first of all, in the vision, Isaiah says the Lord is sitting on a throne. The throne of Judah is empty. The king is dead, as every man is appointed once to die and then stand before the throne of God in judgment. Kings die. Presidents die. Generals die. World conquerors die. But our Lord, the Lord our God, he reigns forever. When life seems to fall apart in our world, we need to remember the God who is in control of it all, and that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Isaiah said the king was dead. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw something about God. I saw a reality about our invisible God. He was sitting on a throne. My brothers and sisters, the throne is a symbol of authority and power. It speaks of the omnipotence of God. He has all power in his hands. He has all power in heaven and on earth. He has the power over life. He has power over nature, power over economies. The heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he turns it any way he wants to. He has power over industry and power over armies, and he reigns forever. The Bible says that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Now we know from scripture that God is spirit, so there is no literal throne. The vision speaks anthropomorphically of God's throne, which is a place of majesty and honor, of dominion and might. God, according to Reverend Bowman, is always large and in charge. There is no higher place than heaven, and God is the King of heaven. And Jesus holds the place of honor because he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. God's throne also is a place of perfect justice. He has prepared his throne for judgment. The final judgment described in Revelation chapter 20 is held before the great right throne of God. But then God's throne is a place of grace. Not only does the throne of God represent judgment for the unbeliever, it also represents mercy and grace for his children. I'm glad about that. The Bible says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. My brothers and sisters, inside the Jewish temple was the Ark of the Covenant, which was a copy of the true heaven, and it had a mercy seat where God's presence would appear. The Bible says that when Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Thank God for his power. Thank God that he is in charge. Thank God that he reigns supreme. If you want to know where your authority is, if you want to know the one with all authority, just go before God. He's sitting on the throne, and he's high and lifted up. This high and lifted up speaks of the transcendence of God. God is above all and independent from all creation. He's God all by himself. In the beginning, the Bible says, God created the heaven and the earth. The invisible God created every visible thing. And that fact makes God more real than any material thing. He is above all, and all things were created by him and for him. And in him, all things are held together. He is literally high and lifted up. My brothers and sisters, he is the exalted king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is incomprehensible, the only transcendent being. He operates outside of time and space. He is unlimited in knowledge, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is omniscient, which means he's aware of what you're going through right now. But not only is he aware of what you're going through, he's in it with you. He knows your struggles. He knows your hurts. He knows your desires. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. And what I like about God is the Bible says, even though he knows all about you, he cares about you. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. He holds the cosmos in the palm of his hand. There is none equal with him. He's God all by himself. He's sitting on a throne, and he's high and lifted up. And my brothers and sisters, he welcomes you into his presence by way of prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah says, I'm not sweating what's going on here, because I'm in the temple and I've got a vision of the reality of the power of my God. King Uzziah is dead. He's no longer with us, but God reigns forever. And to remind me of God's power, power. I was in the temple in the year that King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord. He was sitting on the throne with all power in his hand. And to demonstrate his power, the cherubims were banding before him, and the angels were worshiping him. He was sitting on the throne, and he was high and lifted up. He had a position where he could see everything. He was everywhere at the same time. But not only was he on a throne, and not only was he high and lifted up, but his train filled the temple. The train of his robe filled the temple. His glory filled the place of worship. God was the central figure in the temple experience. Isaiah was reminded that while King Uzziah might be gone, the Lord is still with you, and that all the glory and praise belongs to him. He is the only one to be worshiped. His presence filled the temple. It's a reminder of his omnipresence. His presence is simultaneously everywhere in the universe at the same time. God is present on his throne. He was present in the Jewish temple, and he is present in the lives of each believer in Christ. And since God is everywhere present at the same time, the people of God can trust that he is with them and working out things according to his purpose for their good. And that's why we can take our cues from the psalmist this morning, who declared, "I will bless the Lord at all time." Is there anybody here this morning that can really declare, "I will bless the Lord at all time"? No, don't fool me now. Can you really bless the Lord at all times? In good times, when the sun shines brightly, and on an uncloudy day, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord in times of uncertainty and in times of clarity. I will bless the Lord in times of sickness and in time of health. Come on, help me preach this morning. I will bless the Lord at all times, regardless of who holds the political power in the nation. I will bless the Lord whether my friends turn their backs on me or family let me down. I will bless the Lord even if I have to pay $7 a gallon for gas to put in my car. I will bless the Lord at all times, even if I have to pay $5 for a loaf of bread and I've only got $5 to my name. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times because I know that God will provide. Is there anybody here that believes that God will provide? He's high and lifted up. He's sitting on the throne, and he's present everywhere at the same time. I don't know about you, but I will bless the Lord at all times, in times of famine and in times of plenty. I will bless the Lord because I know he's present with me. Don't you know he's present with you? When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil. Why? Because the Lord is with you. If they throw you in a lion's den, you don't have to fear the lions. You know why? Because the Lord is present with you, and he has the power to shut the mouths of lions. If they throw you in a fiery furnace, don't worry about it. Just walk around in there. You want to know why? Because God is there with you. He's the fourth person in the fire, and he's able to take the heat out of the flames. I want you to know this morning that you can trust in God. Isaiah had a vision of the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Well, God has given us his Son, who left the majesty of heaven to come down to the lowland of sorrow for the purpose of bringing the gift of salvation. His Son, Yahshua, Jesus, ushered in the kingdom of God into human history. His Son, Yahshua, Jesus, was crucified on the tree. He died to redeem
redeemed the lost, was buried in a tomb, and on the third day God raised him from the dead. When he had accomplished his work of redemption, God highly exalted him and has given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of all. Well, my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I will trust in the Lord because he's trustworthy. Is there anybody here that's willing to put all your trust in the Lord? The songwriter says, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Crown him. Crown him Lord of all. Won't you give God some praise this morning? Give God praise. He is worthy. He is worthy of all praise.